From Acts chapter 24, beginning with the 22nd verse, we read, "Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way, adjourned the proceedings. When Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, 'I will decide your case.' He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and to permit his friends to take care of his needs. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. They sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about faith in Christ. As Paul talked about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, Felix was afraid and said, 'That's enough for now. You may leave. When I find it convenient, I'll send for you.' At the same time, he was hoping that Paul would offer him a bride. So he sent for him frequently and talked with him. When 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus. But because Felix wanted to grant a favor to the Jews, he left Paul in prison." Here ends the reading of God's word. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, speak to our hearts now. Help us to hear. Help us to understand, to receive your word. And let your word have its transforming power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The song at the beginning was "Cats in the Cradle" by Harry Chapin. His wife Sandy first wrote, it was taken from a poem that she wrote. And it wasn't developed into a song until sometime later. But in the song, which was the first song of his that was a hit, we find out that some of the most important events in life, some of the most important events of life are missed if we wait until it's convenient. All sorts of things arise. All sorts of things come to the forefront when we're waiting for it to be convenient. Sometimes that never comes. In the latter part of Acts, the passage of scripture I read to you, the apostle Paul had been arrested and brought before the authorities, the Roman authorities. And he's first before Festus, and Paul makes his case. He gives his defense because he's been falsely accused. Paul's been accused of inciting riots, disturbing the peace, causing everything to be in an upheaval. And Paul gives his defense that none of that is true. And so after hearing him, Festus says that he's going to think about it, and he adjourns the meeting. And says that he'll get back with Paul later to decide his case. Well, a few days later, Felix and Drusilla, his wife, called for Paul to come, and they heard Paul teach them or tell them about faith in Christ, about one having faith in Christ. How that could be and what that meant, what the implications of that were. And Paul continued on, and he spoke to this couple about righteousness, about self-control, and about judgment, the judgment of God to come. And it's at this point where Felix, the writer, Luke, tells us, Felix became afraid, and he said, "That's it, that's enough. We'll send for you when we find a more convenient time," or when we find a convenient time. And Paul is dismissed. Why was Felix so afraid? Why was Paul's words about the gospel and the implications of the gospel so frightful to Felix? Well, part of it has to do with his background. Felix had been married 3 times. The wife he now had was Drusilla, who was Jewish. And he lured her away from her husband when she was only 16 years old. And Felix was known for his cruelty. The Latin writer Tacitus tells us that Felix believed he could do whatever he wanted and be exempt from punishment. Involved in massacres, involved in oppression, but exempt from any kind of punishment. So you've got a guy living however he chooses, involved in whatever behavior happens to strike his fancy, a total disregard for others, their well-being. Those are things that caused him to be frightful. That was his background. That was what he was involved in. Paul comes along, and yes, he does talk about faith in Christ, but Paul's bold enough to go beyond that and to say, this is what faith in Christ means. This is what is encompassed in faith in Christ. And so he begins and he says, the first is righteousness. And righteousness sometimes can be God putting us right with himself in Christ. And Paul speaks about that often in Romans, what God does for us. But there's also another meaning of righteousness, and it means right living. Living according to God's way and God's will. And that seems to be the one that fits most here, is that Paul is calling and saying that a follower of Jesus lives a life of honor and respect, a life of love and concern and care. I mean, Paul's saying it matters if you follow Jesus. There's a standard. It's not a matter of just each person deciding on their own how they'll live and what they'll do and how they'll treat people and how they'll behave. He said, no, there's another standard, and that standard is God's standard. And for us, it's his word, God's word, and it's the life and the teachings of Jesus Christ. And for us, it's also the rest of the New Testament. There's the standard. There's the instructions that God gives to guide us in faith in Christ, but also in the path of right living. But he also mentioned about following Jesus involving self-control, that a believer was not free to live however he or she chose to live. We march to the beat of a different drummer, and that drummer is Jesus. He sets the tone. He sets the standard. In our day and time, self-control, we have people thinking and we have people teaching, look, whatever urges come forward, it's just all a part of being human. And who could expect anybody to forego all of those, particularly if it will keep a person from being happy and satisfied and fulfilled? Well, you know what? Jesus is not that concerned with us being happy and satisfied and fulfilled in the sense of doing whatever pleases us. Jesus is calling us to be his disciple. And discipleship is challenging. Discipleship is hard. Discipleship sometimes means doing that thing that is the right thing to do when everyone else is doing the other. Discipleship is be willing to stand for Jesus Christ when everyone else is turned away. And it's becoming harder and harder in our day and time to live as followers of Jesus. The only way it can be done is to be empowered by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ living within us, enabling us to rise above the situation. But even with that, we're not intended to do this alone. That's why it's important for us to gather as believers, as part of the body of Christ, in a Bible study group or a Sunday school class or a worshiping community. Because it's hard out there But not only do we have the power of God that's able to give us strength to be able to overcome, but we can have the support and the love of brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we come together, we can offer encouragement to one another. And when we're thinking we're the only one dealing with this, that, or the other, then someone else over here says, no, no, I've battled that for years, and this is what I've done. And we're able to hear, and we're able to talk back and forth and to encourage one another. You can do this. We can do it together. Self-control. We don't take our behavior cue from culture. Believers in Christ don't take their behavioral cue from culture. And believers do not determine right by taking a hand count. No matter what the government, no matter what governing bodies, no matter what's done, we don't determine right and wrong that way. It's looking to God, His way, His will, His standard of right and wrong, and we see it most clearly in the person of His Son, Jesus. There was a third thing that Paul said, and that was about the judgment to come. The judgment of God, something that is very much out of vogue today. People don't like to hear anyone speak about the judgment of God or future judgment. And it, even in the church, even by pastors, even by members, it's like, no, no, let's just push that to the side. That was for years ago when people didn't know any better, when they didn't know anything about the character of God, or that was a time that's outdated. It's distasteful. It's archaic. The problem is, but it's true. The person in the scripture who is the one who loves the most, and he loves all. He loved the outsider. He loved his enemies. All of those. Jesus, the one who expressed the greatest love, is also the same one who spoke the most about judgment to come. So it doesn't have anything to do with somehow progressing to a better level or a different level. This thing about God's judgment, God has eternally been opposed to sin, evil, death, and darkness. God is opposed to anything and everything that tries to destroy His creation. And that's a good thing, because at the judgment to come, all wrongs will be righted. All hurts will be healed. All of the questions that just dumbfound us will be revealed. I mean, the answers will be revealed. This is something that is significant, something that's important for us, because sin and evil will be eradicated, and the resurrected life will do away with death and its consequences. So when Paul said this thing about righteousness and self-control and the judgment of God, no wonder Felix and Drusilla got upset and became afraid, because everything Paul said, they were living in a way contrary to. They didn't want to hear about accountability. They didn't want to hear about judgment coming upon those who reject God's way or God's will. They just wanted to live their lives with them large and in charge and doing things as they chose and being above the law and above accountability. Paul came along and he hit a raw nerve. He hit a raw nerve. It does matter how we live as followers of Jesus. That becomes our witness to others, for them to be able to see the difference, the impact that Jesus can have on a person's life. And this is never to be determined by if it's convenient or when it's convenient. Going back to the phrase that Felix used, when I find it convenient, I will send for you. This is what convenience. Convenient is fitting in well with a person's activities and plans involving little trouble and effort. It's everything just fitting nicely without requiring any effort or any strength, exertion, or anything like that. And there are some things where that's not a bad thing. We're able to do some things with our cell phones, iPhones, and with other elements of technology that are incredible. And they're good, and they're time savers, and they serve a good purpose. But there are some things in life that cannot be dictated by convenience. And one of those is following Christ, the decision to follow Christ. The decision to follow Christ comes when we get that call, when the Spirit of God is speaking to our hearts. That's not the time to say, okay, now this is making me uncomfortable. Maybe another time, maybe when I'm older, maybe when I've done all the things that I want to do as a young person. Or maybe when there's not a whole lot of other things going on. Maybe when I'm just not as busy, it'll be more convenient then. But how convenient was it for God to enter into human existence in the person of his son and go through the encounters with people around, with the encounters of persons who hated and despised and ultimately rejected and crucified him on a cross? How convenient was that? Not at all. But it expresses the love that God has for each one of us and for the whole world. And following Jesus is worth putting ourselves out. Following Jesus is worth, or ministering to other people in need is worth pressing in on our time. All of those things give an indication when we do them, when we follow Jesus, when we minister to others, it gives an indication this is important. And I'm willing to forego some other things over here for this because it is more important. It's not about what is the most convenient. Jesus' call to us is for discipleship. And discipleship is not about everything being smooth and easy. Jesus is concerned about your character and my character. He's concerned about building Christian character within us. He's concerned about us growing spiritually and maturing spiritually. And for that to happen, Christ has to be first. His call, his claim on us has to be first. We need to be very careful because everything around us says, operate if it's convenient. And sometimes we view Jesus as just one more brick on the load, the wagon that's weighing it down. But let me tell you, that is completely mistaken. Jesus is not nor ever intended to be one more brick on the wagon of life and the things we have to do. Jesus is the center. Jesus is the one that helps us determine what other bricks go in the wagon and what ones stay out. See, he's central, and he guides us in everything else. Our culture, we've made everything else dominant, and Jesus, if it's convenient, or his ministry or his church, if it's convenient, if we can work it into a busy schedule. There's a lot of similarities between us, our culture, and what Drusilla and Felix experienced. The writer of Hebrews says at the end, Hebrews 4:7, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. As far as we know, maybe they did, hopefully one day, but as far as we know, Drusilla and Felix, it never was a convenient time for them to embrace the gospel. And there have been others who've turned away waiting for a more convenient time. Now is the time. Today is the day, and Jesus is worth that time and that attention. Let's pray. Gracious, holy, and loving God, forgive us when we've let everything else take precedent over you. Faith in you, your call upon our lives, your call of us into serving others, in Jesus' name. Forgive us, O Lord. Following your Son and living as a disciple has never been, nor ever should it be, a matter of convenience. It's a matter of commitment. Convenience is all about us. Commitment is about you and others. Help us to act now, at the present time, as your Holy Spirit speaks to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.